Welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. Stay tuned for some announcements, some singing, and some preaching from God's Word. And good morning and welcome to Hold Fast, the radio broadcast of Christ Fellowship Bible Church. My name is Steve Willing and I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us this morning. It is always our pleasure as a church to bring you this program. We hope the Lord would use it to be a blessing to you, to encourage you in the things of God. To touch your life in a way that would bring you, if not already, to his son, Jesus Christ. And if you are a born-again believer, that you would just continue to grow in your relationship with the Lord through this program. So again, thank you for tuning in today. And again, my name is Steve Willing. I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. And we begin our Sunday mornings with our worship service that starts at 10 o'clock. We'd love to have you come and join us today. We do stream our service online. You can go to our website, which is cfbc413.org, cfbc413.org. You can click on the live stream button there. That'll take you right to our YouTube channel. You can click on those live videos, and you can watch to your heart's content. But we start our morning worship at 10. We start streaming around 10:45. We have our evening worship at 6 o'clock, and we start streaming around 6:30 with that. Tuesday evening, we're going to be back with our Bible study here at the church. We've started a brand new Bible study. It's just a couple weeks in. We're studying the book of Ruth, and we also do post that up online for you to view at our YouTube channel. So you can check all that out if you're able to. Unable to attend, you can pick it up right there on the different platforms that we use. So we are thankful again that you are with us this morning. We just continue to pray God's blessing on you as we look at the fall unfolding before us. And just very thankful to what God's doing here in our midst, what he continues to do in the midst of the world, and knowing that even though, friends, it looks to be hard times with many different things going on in Israel, here in the United States. But, friends, our hope rests in that God is still in control, that he's not abdicated the throne. He's not left us to our own devices, because if that was the case, friends, if you think the world is in sad shape now, if God would just let it go, we would destroy each other in no time. But thank God for his grace. And we bless the Lord today for all that he is, all that he does for us. And we just look to honor him in the lives that we lead each and every day. So with all that being said, I have a song picked out here. So why don't you go ahead and while the song is playing, grab your Bible. We're going to be in chapter 8 of Joshua this morning, picking up where we left off last week. We're going to do the last bit here. That's going to be starting at chapter 8 of Joshua, verse 30 is where we're going to begin. So grab your Bible, listen to the song, and I'll be back just in a few moments.
He was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. transgression. He was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
By his wounds, by his wounds, we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.
He was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
And by his wounds we are healed. We are healed by your sacrifice and the life that you gave. We are healed, for you paid the price. By your grace we are saved, we are saved.
He was pierced for our transgression, he was crushed for our sin. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him.
And by his wounds we are healed. And by his wounds, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And that was Dallas Marshall and Steve Corbin calling themselves the Drum Pointers. And two of my good friends here at the church singing for us today. Certainly a blessing to have them both, good godly men who love the Lord and serve him. And I'm very thankful for them both. Pray for them both. Steve took a little spill and hurt both of his, hands, but he seems to be doing good. And Dal had surgery actually this past week, but he's doing very well. I'm very thankful for that from the Lord, that they're doing good. So, pray for both of them. And I look to have them on the program in weeks to come again with a new song. So we are turning our attention now to Joshua chapter 8. We are looking at the last several verses, last six verses here in the chapter. We've been going through. We know that there has been the defeat of Jericho. Then they attacked Ai. They lost the first time because of indiscretion, sin on behalf of one of the members of Israel. But they got that worked out, and then they moved on, and they attacked Ai, they defeated Ai, they defeated Bethel. And now Joshua is giving thanks to God for that of the victory that they had over both of these particular cities. So the Bible says there in the 8th chapter of Joshua, verse 30, it says, "Now Joshua built an altar to the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all of Israel, with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priest, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with all the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. So as we've already noted that Joshua and the people of Israel have had a great victory given to them by the Lord. God himself has enabled them certainly to defeat that of Jericho. They've also right at this juncture defeated both the next cities in, which were Ai and Bethel. So we look and we note that now they were commanded by that of Moses that they were to erect an altar. And they did. And this altar, when we see some symbolism in that of the purity of how this altar was to be built. It was to be built just out of natural stone. As it says, an altar of whole stones, over which no man has wielded an iron tool. Meaning that it wouldn't be something that man himself has made. They've not carved these stones up. They've not chopped them into little blocks and making it nice and neat. But they were just to collect stones that were there naturally. And they were to erect this altar. And it was there that they would offer that of the sacrifices, the burnt offerings, and the peace offerings on it. And they did so. They did exactly as God had commanded them, and the burnt offerings themselves were that of for sin, and the peace offerings were that of offerings that were lifted up to the Lord in thanks that they are certainly at peace with God, and that of the proclamation of continued peace. So as they do this, it says that they did this, and there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Now, folks, when we talk about the law of Moses, I would believe here that when we read this passage, because when we think about the law of Moses in its large sense, we're dealing with the first five books of the Bible. We're dealing with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That is an undertaking to write the entire law. And that's where I would hold true that Joshua would have done this, which would, again, been no small feat at all. Again, there were some that might argue that probably just wrote the Ten Commandments. But I would hold to that he had affirmed that of their conquest after building the altar, offering the offerings, that he inscribed on all of those stones that of the entire law, the Torah. And then noted that as he would have that etched on those stones, then all Israel and the elders and the officials and judges stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites, who bore the ark of the covenant, the stranger as well as he who was born with them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim and the other half in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. So this is a time, as we note, of offering to the Lord, thanksgiving, these burnt offerings, peace offerings, but also a time that the people themselves would be blessed, that they would be almost the act of God's blessing being bestowed upon these people, God's chosen people. And then not only did Joshua etch the words of God into the stones. But then afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. So noted that, and that's why I tend to believe that Joshua wrote the entire Torah on the particular stones that were erected for the altar. Because here when we speak about the blessings and the cursings, and we know throughout the Torah itself, through those first five books of the Bible, that God had pretty much clarified that, hey, if you follow the Lord, you'll be blessed. If you turn from the Lord, you'll be cursed. And that's basically, as we read through the entire book, that's what we see. And noted that Israel certainly had its ups and downs, and those things would come true. When they honored God, when they adhered to his law, that they had no problems. Things went very well for them. But anytime they would turn from the Lord, that they would seek their own, that they would look after other gods, they would do things that were sinful, then that be the consequence of their sin and God's judgment, God's punishment upon them. So here it tells us that, and there was not a word, as we close it out, there was not a word of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before the assembly of Israel, the women, the little ones, the strangers who were living among them. Everybody got to hear it. Everybody knew what God was requiring of them and that of God's promise that he would be their God as well. He would take care of them. Look to him and he will take care of all that needs that they have in that land. But we see one thing that I do want to point out before we move any further is how important it is, as we see with Joshua and the people of Israel, how important God's law was, that written word, that of the word being read, heard, how it was for those people to know what the law of God, what God was requiring of them. And then on the other side of that, how the Lord himself would make it clear that he would watch over them, that he would be their God and they would be his people. See, today we've lost contact, I believe, with much of what we can gather in that of the Old Testament. These people knew that there were things that God himself wanted them to know. So right from the very beginning, about how God himself was the creator of all things. He was the giver of life. He made all that we know in this world. How God himself was a God who was separate from them as a holy God. There was a spiritual world, because the Bible tells us, certainly in the New Testament, God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We know that the devil himself is alive and well at this juncture. We have that written for us in the book of Genesis. And he looks to try to make a mockery of God, a mockery of what God is doing, a mockery of God's creation, a mockery of God's people. He looks to do all those things, and God is giving them, he's giving them that of the understanding of which they need as generations pass. And then as many had lived before, saw God's marvelous works, but he's leaving them that of the written word to say, this is what has gone on. This is what I need you to know. This is what I need you to do. And I will continue to be your God right until the time that when, as we would understand, as time on earth would end and God would create a new heaven and a new earth. And even then, we note that God himself, that will be a transformed people at that point, everyone of faith, and that God will continue to be our God. He'll be our Savior. He'll be our Lord. He'll be our King. He'll be our everything. But for us today, we oftentimes miss some of these jewels within Scripture. These things of which would help us along our way with the Lord. And that is a good foundation in His holy word. We oftentimes look to live for the experience instead of living to what God has commanded. Have individuals that would say, God told me to do this, when at times it's in absolute contradiction to what God has written. And see, friends, something is amiss there, majorly, that God told me, but then it's completely contradictory of the word. We have individuals that bring in false teaching in the church about what they understand about the world and God and the Holy Spirit and the Son. And what happens is that if it's not based firmly upon that, if it's not written in stone, let's look at it that way, friends. If it's not written in stone, they bring these things in that confuse a lot of people. And then people themselves, they can get frustrated because they've listened to this, they've bought into it, and then next thing you know, it's not adding up the way they thought it should. And that's why it's important that we always go back to the Word of God. So here Joshua has taken the time and has noted, friends, this was not an easy task. This was not something that, you know, I would think today, even for myself, if I were to sit down right now and start to and just write out on a piece of paper that of the entire first five books of the Bible, that's not something that I'm going to do in the next 15 minutes and just say, oh, there it is, it's all done. No, this was an act that took great time. And not only that, as it was inscribed upon those stones, but then Joshua took the time to read all of it to all of the people that were there. Now, I've never timed myself, given much thought to how long it would take to read these first five books of the Bible. I know within in my Bible, it's going to be right around 120 pages. So even if I were to sit down and read it, it's going to take some time. And that's fine print too, folks, because I'm looking at my Bible right now and I'm like, that's some fine print right there. But understanding, friends, that there is, so when we speak about Joshua, him inscribing that of the words of God upon stones, the length of time, the just that overall work that had to be done to complete such a task, and then following that to read out loud all of it. But see, folks, I think that's more of what we would need today to familiarize ourselves with the Word of God. Some time put in. We oftentimes can just look at a, you know, we read a little maybe devotional or something. And again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that that's not good. That is a wonderful thing to do. But we read, you know, this 5 minutes and then we're off and running into the rest of the day. But folks, we need to really dwell upon and do the hard thing. Take time to study God's word. Take time to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. take time to compare and contrast different scriptures that we read to make sure that you and I, as the Bible would tell us in the New Testament, that we are rightly dividing the word of truth, that we're not getting things confused, that we are doing that of the difficult task of spending time in the Word of God. And believe me, folks, I know it gets busy for you. It gets certainly busy for me. And listen, I'm the pastor of a church, and a majority of my time is spent in reading and studying the Word of God. But just on that note for myself, and just the time that I need to take for me personally to see how it applies to me, just not what I have to prepare for on a Sunday morning, Sunday night, a Tuesday evening, right now, but how I take the time to look into the Word of God for me, for my growth, for my spiritual health. And friends, that's what we see Joshua looking to help the people he leads, to inscribe these words upon the stone, to have it read before them. And friends, that took time. It took a lot of time. But I would encourage you that the benefits of that, the benefits of listening to what God has to say in all circumstances. And I certainly appreciate how the Lord would inspire that of Joshua, how it said, and afterward he read all the words of the book of the law, the blessings and the cursings. So he didn't leave anything out. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't just like read all the good things. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Without putting in there knowing, listen, we have an obligation to be obedient. Because if not, we could fall under the curse. We could have all that we have striven for up to this point and lose it. And that's what we would note later on in the history of Israel. We see that they would just disobey and God would have to send them off into Babylonian captivity for 70 years. So folks, this morning as we come to a close of our message, look into the God's Word. We take time for everything else. We'll watch movies, television, sports. We'll do all these other things. But friends, for your spiritual health today, take time to engage the Word of God. Take time to read it. And that's what the church is supposed to be about, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That's a part of my role as pastor, my elders here and deacons, that we can get the Word disseminated, that people can grow and mature in their relationship with the Lord. And also, if there is a soul that does out there listening that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would come to believe. They would come to trust Him as their Lord and Savior. Again, my name is Steve Willing. I pastor Christ Fellowship Bible Church here in Marion Station. If you would like to contact us with any questions, comments, prayer requests, please feel free to call 443-235-3618. Drop us a note in the mail, 5910 Crisfield Highway, Marion Station, Maryland, 21838. You can go to our website, which is cfbc413.org, cfbc413.org, and we've got everything there. Our Facebook page is there, our YouTube channel is there, our podcast page is there. Everything is right there at your fingertips. So again, God bless you all. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and give you peace. God bless.